You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kanye West, and the Swami. Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Indeed, I was talking, and of course, I was on mute, so give it up, give it up. Once again, fuck it, because it's 2021, the last show of 2021. Give it up for that, too, hell, the last show of 2021. Yeah. Welcome to the show. I am the resident heel. This is Fatal 4-Way Radio, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kevye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Give it up for everybody. Cat, cat. Guys, true story. I think the ghost is in here, and now the ghost is fucking around with my mute button. Albert keeps going in and out on mute by himself. It's the craziest fucking thing. Hopefully that stops now that I've addressed it. It's a friendly ghost, though. It's a friendly ghost, but nevertheless, there is a ghost.
How could it be a friendly ghost if it's fucking with our equipment?
Well, no, man. He's not really fucking. He's just, you know, letting me know that he's there. But nevertheless, welcome, ghost. Welcome, ghost, and welcome everybody else.
Welcome,
to
ghost.
Boy Radio. The last show of the year, and Albert has already said he's got to cut out early. He's got a party to attend to tonight, and I can't say I blame him. Birthday party. So happy birthday. Happy birthday. Yeah. I myself am already stretched out in the recliner, so I might be cutting out tonight, to going to sleep.
You
so
want
to shout out to sleep?
You want to make it 2 hours?
Yeah. What's that, Albert?
You want to make the 2.5 hour? You want to make the 2.5 hour drive to the Zombies Bar here in San Antonio for the our good friend's birthday party tonight?
I would if I could, but I will fall asleep on the road. I can assure you that I'm exhausted. But I digress, guys. So Zombies Bar tonight—that's the place to be in San Antonio. Whose birthday is it tonight?
I don't know.
Me and Teresa's good friend Naomi, and we had we said we were gonna attend a couple of months ago, and then of course Teresa passed, and then I just gonna keep my promise tonight and have a couple of drinks and I get too loaded. I gotta work in the morning, so I'm not gonna get too loaded. So but we'll see.
Right on. Yes.
The karaoke party, by the way. So there'll be lots of karaoke.
Do they got the punk rock karaoke going on over there too, man?
Yeah,
they got one at Rudyard's. Punk rock karaoke night at Rudyard's over here. I think it's Monday night.
A little bit of a punk and metal bar, so yeah, they do all that stuff.
Sweet. Kevye, what have you been up to, my friend?
We did the Christmas thing. Little girl was happy with Christmas. I got a 3-year-old, so that was fun. She asked for a gigantic teddy bear, so we got a teddy bear that's like 3 times as big as her.
How sweet.
That went good. And then I got me some goodies. I was telling Chuck before the show, I got a new guitar. I got myself a couple of new pedals, and I don't know. I just holiday stuff. Been like kind of playing with my Christmas toys. You know what I'm saying? I got one of those video game consoles. I got like the arcade console that I think I was telling Christian about this, but it has like 4,000 games on it, and it was a couple $100. But you plug it in straight into your TV or your computer, and you can play like old school Street Fighter and all the wrestling games, all that stuff's on there. All the Fire Pro wrestling games are on it already. So,
sweet.
I'm playing with that too.
Yeah, I'm thinking about maybe getting a console, but I don't know how often I would play it. I don't know if I'd play it enough to warrant spending that kind of
this
dough. I think they're like $500 now and shit.
Yeah, the new ones, yeah.
But I'm not sure. But Mr. Christian from Philly, the Philly Nilly with the chili and the willy. Damn it. Christian is all fucked up about it over the COVID, over Seth Rollins getting COVID. I mean, he was all fucked up about it. It was super sweet, guys. It was super sweet. Tell us about that, Christian.
No, like, these people have fucking COVID, and it will affect the day one trash pay-per-view this Saturday. And I'll get to it when I'll continue this thought when we get to the report. But NXT just finished, and it was a pile of dog shit tonight, like always. All the wrestlers were fucking shit, and it's fucking trash.
Fucking, it's going to be shit Sunday or Saturday or whenever the fuck the pay-per-view is.
It's
going to be shit Friday going into it.
No, there's no Friday for SmackDown this week.
No?
This week's SmackDown, it's not even going to be a fucking show. This week is a top 10 moments on
break
the FS1
heart.
Channel.
What the hell? Right before a pay-per-view?
Break my fucking heart, man.
The night before a pay-per-view. That's supposed to be the SmackDown's go-home show, and they're not even doing a fucking show.
You know, it's because, I'll tell you why, man. They probably already know that nobody's going to fucking watch it anyway. Who's going to
New Year's Eve?
That shit? Yeah. Hey, who's going to fucking watch anything on TV New Year's Eve? And if they do, it's going to be fucking, you know, Dick Clark or whoever the fuck is doing it. No, Carson Daly. He's the new Dick Clark. No, the other guy, Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
He even bought fucking Dick Clark. So, yeah, we're going to have the new Dick Clark fucking, you know, doing his thing and, you know, a few other fucking slimeball celebrities doing theirs and... It's going to be great madness for everybody around the world and as we
maybe
bring in the new fucking year together. I'm wondering if the great if the great Tony from fucking World Generation Podcast, what's his name? Tony, you know.
Tony P.
Yeah, there you go. Hollywood Tony P. If he's going to do it, he typically does a show on New Year's Eve. We'll see. We'll see how that develops. Stay tuned. And if he doesn't, who gives a shit? It'll still be Miley Cyrus will still be on TV, I saw recently. So, you know, Miley Cyrus on television, who needs fucking Hollywood? I guess. Who the fuck cares? Guys, we had a shit week of wrestling. Yeah, Christian?
Yeah. Also on the lineup, I'm going to give my AEW report. The predictions for the fucking trash pay-per-view, and that's about it.
There was a past AEW pay-per-view or what?
No, it was a past show. We got to talk about the what happened on last week's show, AEW.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and I'm sure there was some trash wrestling, too. I didn't even watch SmackDown. I read a little bit about it. It was just fucking two matches or some shit. Of course, that
we'll
one match was like a
there.
Super long match or some shit, but
we'll get
I didn't even
we'll get
watch.
There when we get there. I'll do the AEW report first, and then we do the whole WWE thing last. So let's just continue the show.
We'll see what Mr. Producer has to say about that. Maybe he wants to do it the other way around, just to fuck with you.
The ghost?
Has it ever occurred? Yeah. We got a ghost in the house now, so has that ever occurred to you, Christian?
Huh?
No. But I digress. So we got wrestling news. How about we do wrestling news? We haven't fucking done much wrestling news in a while. But
yeah,
there was one or two things that I wanted to talk about. Fortunately, I didn't mark them. Let's see, where the hell are they?
I got one.
Yeah, reveal it.
WWE stops doing COVID-19 fucking testing.
Oh,
now,
that's the one.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's
that.
The one. What do you guys think about that? So they're going to stop doing, I know that NFL recently adjusted their rules too, because they had said that they were not going to fucking stop the games or reschedule games and shit the way they had to do last year. Well, all of a sudden, last week, there was a shitload of fucking teams that had COVID and shit run rampant through their fucking squad. And so what did NFL have to do? They ended up having to fucking cave. And the reason that that happened, though, is a little bit different from WWE. And I'm going to explain how that is right now real quick. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because let's get into it right now. You see, the NFL players have protection. They pay dues and shit to the NFL Players Association. And that's a group of former players that run that, right? And they try to make it to where it's a fair business dealing between, you know, the franchises and the players, okay, and the NFL itself and the players and shit. More the NFL, not necessarily the franchises. And so anyway, they don't have that in WWE. They don't have a fucking union or an association like that. Hence, they fucking go all year. They don't have no off season or none of that bullshit. They go all fucking year, and, you know, 2 days off a year, 5 days a week, work week, and it's all the fucking weekends. They miss everything. Special time requested, you know, okay, maybe they grant it to you. Maybe they don't. Sometimes you hear about fucking wrestlers who are, you know, injured, and then they're dealing with injuries, but they're still going because, you know, WWE's doctor says it's okay for them to still go, okay? And so they continue to go, and then next thing you know, they got to take off for a while because they're dealing with a few nagging injuries and shit. So anyway, they don't have this protection, okay? So what do you guys think about that shit?
Dude, the WWE doctors and officials are fucking garbage. Those people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Are they really trained for fucking professionals? These are the same people that said that they treated CM Punk's staph infection like it was a fucking joke. These are the same morons that treated the whole CM Punk staph infection like it was a fucking joke. So I don't take whatever they say with a fucking grain of salt. All right.
Well, these are the same people, though, however, that fucking, you know, gave John Cena that fusion fucking surgery and had him back in record time.
No, I think
are
it's John
not?
Cena's fucking new thing. No, it wasn't.
No,
those were the hospital people.
No, WWE has their doctors, and they're like sports medicine. They're like guys that are trained. They're like what they used to call trainers whenever you're in like football in school or whatever. They would like, so I guess they're like, I don't want to like take away from the profession, but I would say that they're not as trained as like a doctor in a hospital, like a, you know, a surgeon or somebody. Yeah, that he's referring to somebody like that.
They're essentially just like glorified nurses, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like they can wrap a, you know, they can wrap an ankle. They can check for concussions. You know what I mean? They can ice and stuff down. That's pretty much all they do. So they're like looking to them.
So they're not testing for COVID anymore. The NFL had to switch their whole game plan, and they did have to put games on this past week or last week. You know, on Tuesday, and I think even on Wednesday or some shit, or they had extra games on Monday, and then they had an extra game on Tuesday as well. That's what it was, not Wednesday. But nevertheless, they had to adjust their schedule, right? So what became of that is now they've eased up on their policies as far as the testing and shit. And I think even Dr. Fauci has recently made it to where it's no longer that you have to have so many tests within 10 days or 5 days. Now it's 10 or vice versa. I don't fucking pay attention to it anyway, because I think it's a bunch of fucking horseshit. but I digress. But anyway, I wanted to get y'all's opinion on it because you guys, you do buy into this shit. And so let me have it. What do you think about? No, really. I mean, you guys buy into the whole,
it's
you know,
sickening.
Shit. So what do y'all think
it's
about
sickening.
This shit that they're not allowing the, you know, or making it mandatory?
I think that,
you know, they don't have to do it. I go to work every fucking day, and I don't have to fucking take a vaccine, and I work close with people every day. And I don't have to fucking wear a mask and all that shit and take fucking shots and shit to see if I'm fucking COVID-free.
Right. No, I think that it wouldn't have been a big deal if WWE had done this. Like, if they had done it, it would not have been a big deal. The reason it's a big deal is because they did it after they sent a bunch of people home for testing positive for COVID. So it's like one day, you know, one day they sent all these people home, and that's the story that day is that, there's a COVID outbreak in WWE. The next day they're like, we're not going to make y'all do mandatory tests anymore for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it we're not going to make y'all do mandatory tests anymore because then we'd have to send all fucking 30 of y'all home again. You know, that's what it makes it seem like. If it had just happened,
I
then it wouldn't have been a big deal.
You know, you're exactly right, Kevin. If those people didn't get to home and it wasn't that big of a fucking, I mean, if they didn't have a small outbreak of COVID, then it would have been just like, we wouldn't be talking about it right now. And, you know, I think that it should have been gradually phased out. I think they're doing like two a week or something like that. I mean, they could have gone to 1 week and then one every 2 weeks and then, you know what I mean? But, you know, here we are dealing with the Omicron and all this stuff too. I just think it's, you know, irresponsible. It just seems like maybe they're trying to, you know, they found another way to cut some cost. You know what I mean? Like they're having to pay for all these fucking tests, hundreds and hundreds of tests every week. You know what I mean? You know, that's got to add up. And, you know, Nick, looking at the money.
What is
thing.
This Omicron? Another cold?
No, that's the COVID. That's the variant's name, Omicron. It sounds like a Transformers name, doesn't it? Sounds like something out of the Transformers. Omicron.
If you go back in history, all these viruses have names, okay? And they've been around every few years we have a virus, and it has a name. Just it's never been made such a big deal of until now.
Yeah.
But I digress.
I just think, you know, WWE is a fucking idiot. I think Vince McMahon's a fucking idiot doing this now, even though 50% of your company has COVID. I think it's fucking really more dumb since you're doing this knowing that you have like 4 fucking days until one of your pay-per-views this Saturday. I think that's fucking dumb. And also, you never hear the rest of the other fucking wrestling companies with the fucking outbreak. You don't hear fucking AEW having an outbreak. You don't hear Impact having an outbreak. You don't even hear New Japan even having an outbreak. WWE is like the number one company that you hear right now have a fucking COVID-19 outbreak. Why is that?
Maybe AEW and those other companies are like the Biden administration where they don't put shit out to the fucking people. When the fucking reporters start asking questions, they fucking take them out of the fucking room. Maybe it's like that. Have you ever thought of that? Because
no,
that's exactly
maybe.
What happens with the
Biden
administration.
Yeah, things might be kept more internal in those companies more. I think that WWE has way more employees, and they travel more than anybody else. And
that's why they're fucking idiots.
Their wrestlers definitely work like 60% more than like any other company's wrestlers. They're like doing other stuff that may not just be in the ring wrestling. So that might be why they get exposed more and get more COVID outbreaks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it's kind of fucked up, though, that they don't have a union or some type of shit
to
represent them.
People aren't, if I may, just people aren't being completely safe when they're going back out. At first, when I got the vaccine, bro, I was going out without a mask, and I was like, everything's cool, I'm vaccinated. And then the more you watch and, like, the more shit, like, I'm not totally scared of the shit. But I'm just saying, like, now I wear my mask, and I'm whenever I'm in certain places. Like, if I'm going somewhere where I know a bunch of motherfuckers are at, I'm going to wear my mask just because I don't want to get sick. It's not even a fucking save the world thing. It's like, I don't want to deal with this shit, so I'm going to wear the mask. And if everybody had that attitude, then nobody would be getting fucking sick, probably. I don't know. The mask isn't perfect. We could go argue for another 2 years about the same shit. And the companies are dealing with a totally different argument. WWE has the responsibility to do the right thing with COVID. It's impossible.
I agree. Sorry, I'm on mute. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I agree. Yeah. You know, it is kind of irresponsible. I mean, you know, not only are these guys and girls, you know, they're backstage, you know, amongst themselves. Like you guys said, that they're out there, or Kevin said, they're out there meeting people, they're out there shaking hands, kissing babies like a good, you know, WWE superstar does. Doing Titus O'Neil shit, if you will. If you will.
Right? Take a little, if you will.
If you will. Take a little page out of your book there, Minister. But, yeah, not only that, dude, but, I mean, they're also in close contact with the fans. You know what I mean? Like when they go out there you know, these events, day one and Royal Rumble coming up and WrestleMania could turn out to be super spreader events, you know what I mean? And they really need to, you know, take that stuff into consideration because they're not really, I mean, I haven't been seeing, you know, them having to require, you know, the WWE universe to mask up. I was watching NXT earlier and some of them did on NXT. Some of the crowd did, but not everybody. And so, you know, it's either got to go one or the other. And, yeah, you know what, we're all tired of this shit. We all want this shit just to fucking end, go away. But, you know, we got to do what we got to do. And if WWE, like, just phases out, like I said earlier, phases out COVID testing, as you know, COVID-19 numbers, you know, began to drop as well. I mean, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. And, but I guess we're going to see.
And we were in the green room. We were in the green room earlier, and of course, I shared that picture of, you know, Ice-T with Cheerios. He's a Cheerios guy now, and you know, more power to him, right? But you know, it makes me think of other things that are kind of weird. Like you think about fucking 20 years ago, I guess, or however many years it was, 30 years ago. 30 years ago, we were listening to fucking Rage Against the Machine singing shit like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. And now, the same guy that fucking sang that, he's out there fucking doing whatever they fucking tell him. Like a fucking puppet.
Well, he's a communist. He's a communist.
I mean, is that not true or what? Anybody?
He's a communist.
It's called
I want to hear what Albert,
marketing.
No. I'm not. You know, he's a communist. He's a communist.
So like,
fan.
Ice-T was like body motherfucking count was Ice-T. He's like cop killer, like this crazy. It's so cool that he's like on Cheerios now. That's really badass. It's cool that he has a really peaceful name like Ice-T too. Like it's not threatening. Like the guy never had a threatening name. It's just I'm Ice-T. What's not to like? So, good, what a tale of that. Coming up out of that.
You know
but
what?
Then Rage Against the Machine, people started listening to Rage Against the Machine again this year, and they like got canceled, or they didn't get canceled, but fans were like, oh, these guys are talking about anarchy and shit. Like, we can't have this. Like,
Speaking of anarchy, another part of wrestling news, and I think I called all of you about this. I left you phone messages about this. That crazy motherfucker tried it again, ladies and gentlemen. The fucking fat fuck that attacked Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw. He tried to did it again. He literally tried to sneak in and break into the Madison Square Garden show they had this past weekend. And he fucking tried. You know, there was like security and police in the front door. The guy's a fucking crazy fuck. The guy's, this is not stalker. This is called a guy.
Do you know if they arrested him?
No, I don't even think he knows. He knew. I don't think he cared. I don't think he cared.
Do you know if they arrested him at MSG? Did they arrest him there? Or did?
No, they were pulled.
Did they not locate him? He just put out threats saying that he was going to be there?
They were pulled from the event, like in the holiday tours, but I don't think he fucking cared. He was going to sneak in anyway and fucking attack somebody else or Seth Rollins. Who knows? Who knows what this fucking crazy fuck's intentions were? But this guy's a fucking maniac. All right?
Yeah.
Obviously, banning him from these events isn't fucking stopping this fuck because he's somehow buying fucking tickets. He's wasting his fucking money going to these fucking states.
So what are you
going
to do to him? What are you going to do to him? You going to fucking keep him fucking locked up?
Like,
you can't
I don't
do
know.
A goddamn
like,
thing about it because the courts won't allow it. You know, they've got fucking cell reform and shit, you know? You can go do a fucking whatever the fuck you want to do, and they're going to let you out anyway. Because there's no consequences for fucking crime anymore. And that's why fucking crime is running rampant. It's not the fucking gun that kills people. It's because there's no consequences for having a fucked up gun when you kill somebody that fucking, then you're out fucking free again. And so fuck it. They just keep doing it. It's the same shit with this fuck. He's going to keep doing it because they're not going to fucking lock him up. They're not going to fucking send him away. They're not going to do shit about it. And we're going to be sitting here and it's going to be fucking repeat over. All he wants to do is fucking get famous off of this shit.
Oh, yeah, he does. And he is. And he already has. He has like a – he didn't get his full 15 minutes of fame. He got his like a 3 minutes of fame. But let me tell you something, man. The WWE fucking security at these shows is a fucking joke. And I might have mentioned this before the last time I went to the August Monday Night Raw taping in San Antonio here. When I was on the way to the venue, my cousin had emailed me my ticket. Well, when I got to the venue, I don't think I shared this with y'all. I got there a little bit late. Maybe like, 45 minutes late or something like that. And everybody was already seated, and I walked in, and I'm just kind of wandering around, like, what the fuck's going on? And then I end up next to, like, the little, security guard thing where you have to walk through the little, the little metal detector and stuff. And I'm trying to pull up my ticket. Yeah, I'm trying to pull up my ticket, and I'm like, oh, shit, like, it won't pull up. Like, there was something wrong with it. I guess it had already expired or something. And so I couldn't pull it up, and I'm like, dude, like, and I'm showing the ticket person, I'm like, I had it right here. It's not there anymore. And then the lady just like, oh, that's cool. Just go in. I'm like, what? He's like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, that's cool. Just go in. It's like, all right. So I went in without even a fucking ticket, Nice. I just kind of like wandered in this fucking Monday Night Raw. Found my cousin
and
sat out.
And they didn't use the metal detector?
I walked through the metal detector, but they didn't like wave the wand or anything. It was really weird. Yeah.
At wrestling shows, I think about this. I was thinking about this because there's a lot coming out about it this week. And we're talking about Dimebag Darrell being shot at his concert.
Oh,
and I think
man.
It's like, somewhere around the anniversary of that or something was recently. But it's like, if I was Seth Rollins, like the same thing that happened to the chicks, Mandy and Shayna, I guess, or Mandy and you can't think of who it was. But anyways, like with these stalkers, like if I was Seth and this dude had already made two attempts, I'd be scared. Like the guy who killed John Lennon like did it twice. The guy who killed Dimebag Darrell did it twice. These are people that are like, they're willing to like I would, it just, what a shitty situation to be a celebrity that's not a high enough level celebrity. Like, that guy still gets in his own car and drives himself to the next show. Shit like that.
I'd be fucking, between workouts, bro, I'd be going to the fucking gun range and fucking plucking some fucking paper bodies and shit, some fucking targets. That's what I'd be fucking doing. And I'd be fucking packing, and that's it.
Listen,
I'm surprised Seth didn't put a restraining order on him. Like, that's the first thing I would have done. You know what I mean? They said it. What did they do? They kicked him out of the show, and, they gave him, a ticket? They took him down to the police station and gave the guy a fucking ticket and pretty much a fucking warning, like, slap on the wrist. Like, don't do that again, guy. Like, come on, dude. Like, this guy's a fucking danger to himself. He's a danger to fucking... Go ahead.
How could that be a fucking slap in the wrist? He physically assaulted a fucking man on live television.
Well,
that's a fucking assault.
I'm pretty sure his court date is still yet to come, so, everything is all speculation right now.
That's
and we're going to find out about it, because it'll be reported.
He hadn't even gone to court yet, and he's already trying to do it again. That's crazy.
So, yeah, because he hasn't gone to court yet.
If I was the company, I would let this guy in, right? I would let him into the men's locker room, and I would tell every available wrestler in the locker room to beat the fucking shit out of this guy. Go to town.
I mean, old school mentality.
This promotion would be crazy.
I mean, if that's what he wants.
I wonder if some backyard fucking mud show federation is going to book this guy somewhere.
Oh, man, that's quite possible. And then you get somebody like that dude that fucking went overboard with the fork on the guy's head and shit recently.
Yeah.
Fucking go out there and really fuck him up.
Hannibal
and really fuck him up.
I was gonna say it's a shame New Jack's passed away, because New Jack would be the perfect opponent for this guy.
Oh yeah. You're right.
So let's see here. I think we have that was great, Christian. Those were the two fucking things I wanted to talk about. That's badass.
You're welcome.
And so we're done with the news there. You read my fucking mind, dude. Let's see here. We got birthdays. And this is the last time. We're going to keep doing birthdays, but we're not going to do fucking, you know, the whole fucking week and shit. It takes too fucking long, so.
You know, there was a few people who we talked about like a couple of times already, because we've been doing the birthdays for so long.
Yeah. Maybe we should just skip it out altogether next year. You know, the new season is starting.
Yeah, who gives a fuck about these people? We'll just be repeating the same names every fucking year, and then it gets fucking boring.
I reckon it does, man. So moving on. But no, we have birthdays this one last time.
Yeah.
So
That's a big moment in Fatal 4-Way history, guys. This is the last birthday.
The last fucking birthday segment. So, Christian.
Right.
Fucking pull us through, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We've all gotten pretty boring of this shit. So this is going to be the final one tonight. Go fuck yourselves. We're not doing this ever again. You're all a fucking boring.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right.
Next year for my birthday, I'm going to call Christian so he can sing me happy birthday.
Yes. Oh, man, that's fucking great. No, wait a minute. You shouldn't have to call him, dude. As a fucking member of the show, you know. He should call you.
He might have sang happy birthday to me this year, actually. Now that I think about it, I might have been included in the birthday song.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I think it was like, fuck everybody except KBA. Yeah.
That fucking minister, too. I love it. Let's see here. Rachel fucking Evers, 1992. Ooh. Does anybody know Rachel Evers?
Who the fuck is that?
Never heard of her. Know who she is. But never heard of her. Justin Roberts, December 28th. Justin, isn't he the guy with AEW now?
Yeah, he's the ring announcer sometimes. Sometimes he's the ring announcer for some shows. But I'll tell you this much, right? Even though he's a decent ring announcer, his fucking book was fucking garbage. Have you read his fucking book? It's so fucking
sad. Oh, shit. What was it? Fill us in a little bit.
He barely talks about he barely fucking talks about the fucking promotion. He barely talks about the... He keeps talking about his fucking boring-ass life. Like, no offense, dude. I don't give a fuck about your life. No offense. I just want to know, how does it feel like working with a fucking wrestling company? He barely talks about the fucking wrestling company he works with in the fucking book.
I can see where you would have been pissed off, bro.
I was hoping he would tell stories like his interaction.
I want to hear the audio version of him actually reading himself. And he says everything in his announcer voice, like, I was 6 years old. I got myself a bicycle from Christmas.
Gian.
Gian. Ray Phoenix, 1990. Yeah,
great
Phoenix.
Performance. Great.
1990.
I always think when I see the Lucha Bros, I always think, man, Pentagon Jr. is fucking badass. I'm thinking that the whole time. I'm like, this guy is fucking cool. And then I'll, like, see Ray Phoenix and be like, oh, yeah, Ray Phoenix is cool, too. I forgot about him. You know what I mean? He's like an afterthought, but he's still a fucking, like, awesome wrestler.
He just needs a personality. That's all he needs.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Some others that I have no idea, but I'll mention them anyway, and if you guys know who the fuck they are, chime in if you want. PCO, 1967.
Oh, that guy's
Matt
cool.
Matt Cross, 1980.
Cross
December
cool.
31st, by the way.
Cross before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we went. It was like a weird show in Pasadena where, like, very little people went. It was that Daniel Pewter show I was telling you about. Matt
Cross, oh, yeah.
A big name I got in for it. And it was post Lucha Underground, but he wasn't wrestling his Son of Havoc. He was just wrestling as Matt Cross. And it was sick. It was good. I think Sammy was at that show. I think Sammy Guevara was at that show, too.
Yeah, you've told us about that. Danny Burch and Katie Forbes. Anybody?
Danny Burch is cool. Danny Burch is a late NXT guy that, like, that, you know, could have been used good. I think he's a British guy. Bald guy.
Yeah. Danny Forbes, yeah. Katie Forbes is Rob Van Dam's partner.
Katie Forbes is his chick that he had on his arm for a long time.
Yeah,
she's an awful.
She's still with I guess they're
like
married. Right, actually, now that I think about it.
She's like in her early 20s, and Rob's like 50-something, man.
1990.
Yeah.
So
she was born in 90?
31. Yeah, 90.
31.
Okay.
31. So yeah. Happy birthday. Should we get a sing out? Fuck it. One last sing out.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Thank God this shit is finally over. All of you could go to hell. You all go to hell.
Oh, hell.
Or like Payne's music did at the end.
Shit. So let's see here. Wrestling history. Wrestling fucking history. Do we want to do this, or are we talking about the same shit still? Again.
No.
Sometimes I feel like we are talking about the same fucking shit.
Yeah, well,
didn't we talk about this?
Just don't go through the whole card of ones. Just pick a couple of things.
Yeah, just pick the important ones. Just pick the exciting ones. Not the
all right, we'll revamp the fucking the shit. Maybe we'll call it something else. Who the fuck knows? Fucking retro. Goddamn retro shit. Fucking retro shit.
Hell yeah. Right. Dude, that's the first time. Is that the first time you played that?
No, I play that all the time, dude.
I love that. I don't remember hearing that.
Just this time I was fucking saying retro.
Dude,
fucking.
You flipped into a
new cut with you saying it, dude. That's the cut.
That
breathed new life into wrestling news. That's all they need to do on Raw and SmackDown is just put a catchy song with it.
So the biggest thing that happened today that I know of, there could have been some other big shit. Who knows? Maybe somebody's got something. But, you know, the biggest thing that happened today was Goldberg defeated Steve McMichael. No, I'm kidding, guys.
Oh, yeah. That was the start of a big, big push.
No, but on the same card, later on down for the main event, we had Sting defeated Hollywood Hulk Hogan. No, Hollywood Hogan by submission to win the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Hogan had originally won the title with a fast count, right? Which wasn't that fast at all, even a little bit, okay? But Bret Hart who was acting as the fucking referee, restarted the match, you know, in Bret Hart-like fashion. You know, the bitter fuck that he is. So fucking Sting would fucking hook on the Scorpion Deathlock, and Hogan submitted.
Yes, the most botched ending to one of the most build-up matches in wrestling history. That's the whole. That's the history of WCW right there. They had money, and then somehow, someway, they fucked it up. They fucked it up. And guess what? Sting then held the title until fucking Thursday on Thunder, Tuesday or Thursday on Thunder, where he had to vacate it. So Sting's title,
yeah,
his first ever world title reign, was already fucking ruined.
That wasn't his first. That wasn't his first world title reign. That was like his third or fourth, I believe. But
I'm just
as
talking about,
scene,
I'm just
yeah,
talking about the character. I'm talking about the Crow
yeah,
character. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the Crow character. Yes, yeah. That was James J. Dillon, and he had to vacate the title to James J. Dillon. But yeah, I mean, I don't blame anybody else in that besides Nick Patrick, who was supposed to be a crooked referee and forgot to do the fast count.
Fucking Nick Patrick. I remember him from when he was fucking young. And then he got all fucking old and shit. I was like, wow, that's how long I've been watching. But shit, you take it like now, he fucking hasn't been around in a fucking coon's age. And here I still am, watching fucking wrestling. What was the deal with the two fucking... what was that one that did the fucking Montreal screw job? And you had
Earl?
Another guy that looked just like him. Earl Hebner. And then you had, what was it,
yeah,
David Hebner? What the
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, his twin brother.
Fuck, no. The whole story was that Bret Hart knew what it was like to get screwed. So he didn't want to get Sting to get screwed. So that's why he interfered.
Oh, fucking hell.
Even though technically he screwed over Hulk Hogan, so his argument is fucking invalid.
Hey, you know, man, last week we talked about Bret Hart right here. We talked about that fucking, you know, who was it that finished his fucking career?
Goldberg.
Yeah, and then this week I find out that, you know, it was the anniversary of that shit, no less.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. That's why we were talking about it. Oh, shit, get the fuck, that goddamn cereal milk. But anyway, I digress. That fucking cereal milk's got me. But shit. So, yeah, the fucking Scorpion Deathlock, Hogan submitted, and it was all a fucking sham, and then fucking Sting ended up getting fucking screwed in the end.
He wouldn't win the world title back until 2000. Oh, no, 1999 when he turned heel. Later in November 1999, he wouldn't win the title back when he joined with Lex Luger. And he beat the same man that he bought defeated when Hulk Hogan turned back babyface and he was red and yellow.
And that, of course, was fucking, let's see, plus five. So 24 years ago at WCW Starrcade. So, yeah, check that out. But I was checking out a fucking some WWE shit earlier this week that was like, you know, from back in the, what did they call that shit back then? The golden era with the, you know, the fucking guy, the Dingo Warrior. What the fuck was his name? That they inducted
the
him into
Warrior?
The Hall of Fame. Yeah, there
the
you go.
Warrior?
They inducted him into the Hall of Fame.
Fuck.
Yeah, some of that
fuck
shit. And, yeah, I was like, fuck, man. I didn't like any of that shit, though. That was when in a time that I didn't like it, dude.
I got a suggested video on my YouTube this morning, actually, and it was like I'll try to share it to y'all, but it's like Warrior, and he's in a promo. He's trying to do a promo backstage, and it's like the blooper outtakes, and he's like having to do an apology, or something? Are you talking about apologizing? Have y'all seen that? Have you seen it, Christian?
No, but I want to.
Yeah.
It's fucking like, weird because the guy's cutting the promo and he's like, if you ever need to apologize, if you think I need to apologize, and he's like, he'll cut himself off and be like, I'm not fucking saying that, Vince. And then like Vince's like, look, it's a work, brother. It's not, you're not really apologizing. It's the warrior character that's apologizing.
It's a
he's like not buying it. He won't fucking do it. And he keeps fucking up. But, I mean, warrior.
It's on YouTube.
Just look at, you can like YouTube warrior apologizing and it'll pop up.
Oh, dude, I have to now. I have to, because I'm a huge fan of Ultimate Warrior's fucking meandering fucking promos. This just sounds right
finally
up my alley, man.
When he gets the promo out, it doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, I don't like the person in real life. I think he's a piece of shit, you know. God rest his soul. But the more and more I read about him, he was a fucking asshole. Like, especially his comic book series, where he fucking fired his fucking writer. Like, he wrote the whole comic book, by the way. He was the one who wrote the stories, and that's why it was fucking shit.
Yeah.
So,
this is madness.
Fuck him. Fuck the Ultimate Warrior, the person, not the character, but, you know, fuck him. God rest his soul, though. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it goes back to what we say. It's like, and it's, what a crazy
them.
Story. Like, it's
them.
Like, can the guy make up for what happened? And like he did, like he came back and humbled himself and apologized and had a great out, like a great way out of the company. Like, and I think that in a way that can, like, I mean, you got to forgive people. So like, in my eyes, Warrior is forgiven, even though he did say some fucked up shit and probably caused some turmoil in people's careers and stuff. A lot of wrestlers are guilty of that. Warrior at least came back and like apologized about it. And then he fucking died the next day. That's what's crazy, too.
Right?
It's just
That's some crazy shit. That he died the next day. I mean, that just makes the whole story kind of, you know, out of epic, I guess. Just a very interesting conclusion, to say the least. But, guys, let's go ahead and take a break. And we'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to, you know, tweak some other shit. Moving as we move forward into the new year. Because this is the last day of the fucking year. The last show of the year, that is. Motherfuckers. So let's take you out right now. The other side of this break, we're going to do some new shit. And we'll, not new shit, but we're going to tweak the old shit. And we're going to get moving. Let's do it.
KVA West, you're listening to us live on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast. Come to you Tuesday nights at 9 on the World Generation Podcast Network. You can check us out on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Planet. I'll be here every week being the mediator, the friendly baby face, the all-knowing, well, no, that's the Swami Christian, but I digress. Tune in every week at 9. We'll see you then.
New Year's Eve is a fun time for everybody, but if you're thinking about drinking and driving, we ask you to think again. If you feel like you've had too much to drink, please do not get behind the wheel. Your life and the lives of others could be at risk. From all of us here at the World Generation Podcast Network, have a very safe and happy New Year.
Friendly Fire Cigar. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, four HD TVs with four separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So yeah, that's where we at right now, huh? That's where we at right now in the era, huh?
In the,
not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfuckers.
And
there you go. There you fucking go.
Christian from Philly, only a Fatal Four-Way Radio.
Latino Heat. Chica, ¿tú quieres probar a un latino más?
Latino.
Ven conmigo.
Latino.
Come on.
Latino.
Mami.
Latino.
¿Tú quieres probar a un latino más?
Maquillado aquí con Latino Heat. Hitting up the honeys that look so sweet. I slam them on the mat, then
suelte de mi lado, cause I'm bringing the heat. Cuando todo se termine, si tú quieres yo regreso.
I'm not scared of you, my brother, cause I'm Latin.
Latino, Latino,
Latino,
Latino,
and now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the last ever AEW Weekly for 2021. We're going to go out with a fucking bang for tonight's episode's edition because we have some exciting information. The first one
information.
Is undisputed. That is right. Last week in AEW Dynamite Holiday Bash, we saw the debut of Kyle O'Reilly. That's right. Kyle O'Reilly made his in-ring debut attacking Orange Cassidy and helping his friend, his brother, Adam Cole, defeat Orange Cassidy. Now, there are seeds planted. Don't clap yet. Hold your pause. There are seeds planted between the breakup here. Because it's already happening. The Young Bucks are upset with Adam. Because Adam kept the secret from them that Kyle was showing up. So obviously we're gonna have a feud of the year, the blockbuster feud that everybody has been waiting for. Yes. Undisputed Era versus the Elite.
God, who the hell cares?
We will finally once and for all find out. Who is the better group in the clique? Is it the Undisputed Era, who dominated NXT for several years in the WWE? Or will it be the Elite, who dominated the indie scenes and ROH in New Japan and in AEW? We will soon find out in 2022.
When they walked out, the Elite comes out, and then when the Undisputed Era comes out, Paul Heyman walks out first and says, my name is Paul Heyman, and I represent, bro.
Paul Heyman?
No.
There's a story with Paul Heyman leaving. I thought it would be cool, but I don't know. Paul's like fired from WWE, or he's not fired. I don't know. It's like WWE crossover. Bring Paul in. I was just exaggerating. Don't let me talk.
Well,
we'll discuss
that.
Sounds interesting, at least. Yeah. Like, it's weird because, like, you got guys like Eric Bischoff going back and forth, you know what I mean, between AEW, WWE, back and forth. I mean, like, certain guys can do that and like, you know, whatever. But, you know, I think it's just – I think it's weird. I think it's strange.
Paul said that,
you know,
he was going to have to look for somebody else. That's the only reason I brought up that scenario. He's like, I might go to NXT and look for somebody.
Are we all just brushing the fact that we're getting Undisputed Era and the Elite? Why are we talking about bad
news here?
Good. Oh, yeah.
It's good. I was just throwing a joke out there, and I had to explain it. But anyways, with this match, spoiler alert, that's why it came to mind, spoiler alert, is that the Elite's going to win. There's no way the Undisputed Era is winning.
Correction, because I'll plant even more of a seed of an idea for you. I have the idea. Okay,
and I don't even fucking watch. All right.
You go
what
first.
What if the new guys, you know, this fucking dinosaur they got roaming around and this fucking Hook and, you know, a couple of other these other fucking guys they got running around, they form a fucking stable and they jump in the mix, huh? What about that?
They already are in the stable. It's called the Jungle Express.
I'm not talking about the Jungle Express. I'm talking about, all right, go ahead. You tell us.
Well, my idea is that when Kenny Omega comes back, and he is going to come back, he's obviously going to join with the Young Bucks, right? But there's one interesting question that I think everybody is forgetting. One person in particular, and that's Don Callis. Whose side is he going to be on? Because we all know that he is partners with Kenny Omega, but, you know, maybe that will change because Kenny Omega left and he lost. And he never really told Don Callis.
By the way,
Hmm?
Who hired the jackal? Who hired the goddamn jackal? Where the fuck is the jackal been?
I don't know. He's been in time off, maybe with Kenny Omega. But I think Don Callis is going to side with the Undisputed Era. He's going to join with Adam and
they
betray Kenny.
They got nothing for him right now.
Yeah, so until Kenny returns, I think Don's going to turn on his ass, and he's going to join with Adam Cole.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, that guy in the pink suit, I like him. He's cool. But I like the other guy better, man, the guy with the fucking the Americans or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
That real bad guy that fucking tells it like it is in the fucking ring. That guy.
Who, Dan Lambert?
There you go.
Dan Lambert's the best shit that's ever been on TV. Dan Lambert is one of the best heels. I think that Dan Lambert needs to go in the WWE Hall of Fame because of how good of a heel he is. Fuck
there
him.
You go.
And I'll even put more ideas in your head, right? There's another person that could make this whole thing interesting.
Uh-oh.
Two people. You have Adam Page. Sooner or later, he's going to lose the world championship. And sooner or later, he's going to turn heel. Why not? I mean, join with, help the Elite. I mean, not turn heel. So he's going to help the Young Bucks and Kenny. So that's four people, right? So it's four against three, and you're saying, well, that's not fair. What if I were to tell you, right, that after a certain someone's contract comes up, let's say the Undisputed Era get help from a certain Prince, Prince Devitt, a.k.a. Finn Balor, yeah?
Mm.
Then it would really be a war. Finn Balor joining with the Undisputed Era to take out the Elite.
Mm.
There you go.
I really do think that Finn Balor is going to re-sign with WWE. I've got this crazy feeling that Vince is throwing a lot of money at him, that they're going to put him in a big program, and that, you know, now they're done releasing guys, and now I think they have their roster set. I mean, of course, there's going to be more releases. WWE is always going to have releases, but bigger names, I don't see them releasing any more bigger names. They're trying to, you know, keep the ones that they have, and I don't see him going with AEW just yet.
Owen staying makes me think that, yeah, that Balor could stay.
I mean, you know, in all honesty, Vince McMahon is throwing a lot of money around for people that he wants. And if he wants Vince McMahon, I mean, Finn Balor there, he'll throw the right deal at him. And then just like that, everything will change for him. Right now, he's fucking losing and shit. Just like that, he'll fucking win the U.S. championship and tote that around. And then they'll put him in a bigger program and shit. And he, I mean, shit, he lost his spot to injury. That was tragic. If Vince McMahon can give fucking Tamina a fucking championship run, I mean, Finn Balor, you know, definitely should get a championship run or something, you know. Goddamn.
I was thinking about that, and even if Finn Balor didn't get injured, I wouldn't think he would have held the title for that long either, you know. I would think he would lose at the next pay-per-view. They would probably had Roman beat him anyway, so he was screwed from the start, so.
Well, we don't know that because, you know, it never got there, but.
You honestly wouldn't think Roman Reigns would be the next in line to face him for that title.
I don't know. I don't remember what was going on. I just know that he won it just like that.
Yeah. All right.
It was
so
a great moment. It was a great moment.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
I think you're just being a fucking pessimist as usual.
No, whatever, you know. If Finn Balor does leave, he leaves. If he stays, he stays. Who cares? Anyway, up next.
You
we
care.
Had,
You'll
yeah,
be calling
cares?
Me bitching if it happens.
No, I don't really care.
For someone
anyway,
who doesn't fucking care about the fucking product and shit, you fucking spend a lot of fucking time calling me and leaving fucking messages every fucking time something happens.
Because I am your reporter. I report shit. I'm a great reporter. It's my duty.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. You're on duty now. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put you on duty.
Other news. Ruby Soho beats Nyla Rose to advance the tournament, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing that happened on the show, some fucker decided to bring a sign that says Nyla Rose could be this guy's dad. If you guys don't know, Nyla Rose is a transgender male, and fuck that guy. Fuck him. I'm glad he's banned from shows. Fuck you, dude. That's so insensitive. What the fuck is wrong with you? How the fuck did they let that guy even into the building with a sign like that? Fuck him.
Ay, por Dios. I mean, he may have made it in the building. I have made signs, you know, while I've been there. You just take a fucking Sharpie and you block it out. You got to block it out. If you don't fucking put blocks, if you don't make your letters block style, nobody's going to fucking see a goddamn thing. So you got to fucking block it, and, you know, you just fucking go in the fucking aisle real quick, and you block out your shit, and fucking boom, next thing you know, it's on, and then, you know, after a little bit, you get the tap on the shoulder, and they take your fucking sign. But what that guy did, though, was fucking tasteless. I didn't even watch it, and I want to fucking vomit.
It's crazy how many signs there used to be, and how many awful things they used to say on the signs, and they just did slide. But now, like, the culture is, like, it's weird to bring a sign, and then it's really rare for somebody to bring an offensive sign. So AW signs are, like, some of the most friendly, like, funny signs, really. So it's, like, the ball's on this guy to make a shitty one. Like, fuck the guy for sure.
Bastard. He's a bastard. What else? Up next. We had the main event, which was a great, great six-man tag with Sting, Darby Allin, and CM Punk, who were wearing, like, retro face paints, versus the Pinnacle with MJF and FTR. Pinnacle, one of the worst stables ever. They barely do anything. They don't even interact with each other hard most of the time. So I don't get what the fuck the point of their stable is. They barely interact. They barely make segments with each other. And they fuck with other people besides their own teammates. So what the fuck's the point of the stable? I really don't know. So the story is MJF doesn't want
to fight. Themselves, maybe, I guess. I never see them doing anything together, yeah. It's just fucking FTR doing their promos. And it's just fucking MJF doing his shit.
Yeah. Worthless. So, yeah, the whole story is MJF doesn't want to fight CM Punk, so MJF runs away from him. MJF took a nasty fucking dive to his fucking head when Sting threw him out of the fucking ring. That looked fucking bad. I hope he's fucking okay. That he landed on his fucking head, not even on the protective mat outside. He landed on a exposed concrete. Fuck. That was rough. That was disgusting. Sting, he puts every single person, every old wrestler that ever had a match in WWE to fucking shame. He puts Edge to fucking shame. He puts Hulk Hogan to shame. He puts everybody to fucking shame. The man could still go like he's fucking 20-something years old. He moves like he never broken a hip or anything. It's insane how fast and how agile this man is at his age. It's insane. CM Punk wrestles like he never left 7 years ago. It's insane. And the fact that Darby Allin is a crazy motherfucker in itself is insane. This six-man tag was fucking great.
Yeah. Sting trips me out, dude. He really does. He should get, like, Wrestler of the Year. He should get Wrestler of the Year for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Now, I understand they probably want to focus on some younger talent, but goddamn, man, that's – I know he was still up there. Like, what was his ranking on PWI? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I have no
idea. I've looked it up.
It had to be underneath the head of the tables.
What?
It had to be.
The head of the table didn't even win number one, Minister.
All I heard was somebody's head was under the table.
And you're not talking about the Andre the Giant, the Tony Atlas Andre the Giant story, are you?
Hey, boss. Hey, boss, how many fucking hot dogs do you think Andre the Giant ordered at Coney Island? 30 hot dogs, boss.
30 hot dogs, boss. And a peanut. You want a peanut? If you even get the chance to go back and Google or YouTube search Tony Atlas and Andre the Giant at the Chinese restaurant. And you won't be disappointed.
Oh, you said Tony Atlas? I thought you said Coney Island. I bet.
That's what I was like.
I think
like,
I know what story you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I love Tony Atlas. Anyway, I digress.
Well, you said head into the table, so I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Six-man tag was fucking brilliant. Now we go to Rampage, all right?
So who won the match?
The last thing. Oh, the faces, by the way. The face team won, obviously. Sting,
boo.
Darby, and CM Punk.
What was
do you
there
mean,
a couple
boo.
Of points in the match where Sting did look – I know he did great, but was there a couple of points where he, like – was he just selling? Because he was, like – I saw clips where he's, like, falling down and, like, looked super gassed. Was he just – was that parts where he was selling?
He was selling. He was selling, yeah. He's fine.
He does look way better than he did at TNA. Like, Sting wrestling with a T-shirt on is weird to me, and he did it in – he's done it forever, I guess. But it looks better in AEW than it did in TNA, for sure. Like, he just –
yeah, because he's self-conscious. He's self-conscious.
Maybe the T-shirts are cooler, too.
Yeah. So, we go to Rampage. This is the final art. This is the final note for AEW Weekly, by the way. We go to the main event, which was Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara. Great match. People chanted, this is awesome, but they still booed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, your new TNT champion, Cody Rhodes. And my thought was, what the fuck was the point of Sammy being champion then? He barely did anything with the title. He didn't have no feud with the title. And I think the whole idea is if this does make Cody want to turn heel, but I thought he said he didn't want to turn heel. So what's going on here?
He was working you the whole time, bro.
Probably.
Hey,
probably.
Why is it?
It's
why
needed.
Is it not a good story for Cody to be a heel that doesn't realize he's a heel? Like, why doesn't like? It, I think it's cool if Cody just is like this American boy who's like out there like doing all the do-gooder shit, and the people hate him, and he doesn't know why, and he just keeps doing do-gooder shit, and he's a heel for that reason. Like, they put him up against other heels, and it puts a shine on the other heels. Like, people, I don't know, it is weird to book that way, but I don't think it's a bad character, like, to just not change him officially heel, but the crowd knows that they think he's a fucking heel.
It's Cena and Reigns heat, dude. Like, that's exactly what happened to Cena and Reigns. And I think they're trying with Cody Rhodes. They're just like, just don't change his fucking character. You know, Cena got booed out of the building several times. They didn't change his fucking character because it's getting heat, you know. So he's a heel to some fans and a face to, you know, a few others. But in his mind, he's a face. You know what I mean?
Clearly, John Cena, I mean, Cody Rhodes is trying to turn himself into a John Cena, you know. The polarizing character that John Cena is.
I think that if they did Sammy going right back to the title and winning it back from him, I think that would be the best route they could take. Like, Sammy is super over. Have him fight him again and win and, like, overcome, like, the Nightmare Family or whatever, and rightfully hold his spot as the TNT. Because Cody, this is his third time winning the TNT Championship, technically. So... just have Sammy do it again and then, like, hold it for a long time after that. That's what I would do.
Cody reminds me of Homelander from The Boys.
Big time,
dude.
Big time. Yeah, he gives me Homelander vibes every time I see him now. His outfit
I think
looks
that's
like...
the gimmick. I think that's the gimmick. He's Homelander.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm cool with. Homelander's probably my favorite, like, character outside of wrestling right now. The guy's crazy. I wish Cody would be a little crazier. I want him to be like I said, there's a lot of room for him to do cool character shit. And right now he's not doing any cool character shit. He's just doing this like vanilla kind of thing. And I think that there's like something more
to
it. Even though I think that because you got this character that can do so much more and he's not, that there's a reason for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the key word in the whole thing. It's fucking vanilla. And there's your answer, Christian from Philly. You asked why. It's because it's fucking vanilla. It's a fucking vanilla product. Everybody's the fucking same. Sammy Guevara done had his fucking reign with the title. He's
it's
up there now.
Vanilla product.
It's vanilla, bro.
It's better than what we're having.
I put that shit
place.
On, I fucking fall asleep.
First of all, okay. You know what's not good seeing? Fucking Cody Rhodes is fucking back, man. That shit still hasn't healed after the flaming table spot. I hope it was fucking worth it, bro. Fucking scarring your fucking back. I hope it was worth it.
He still has that shit on his back?
It's fucking pink as fuck. I think he scarred his fucking back.
I think it's totally worth it. I hate to sound like such a fanboy for Cody, but I've always... been a super fan of Cody, and all the times that people have like shit on him big time, man, I have not seen it. Like I'll watch the same segment and be like, I fucking think he's cool still.
Working in the kitchen, like working at restaurants for a very long time, I've spilled like boiling fucking water like on my chest before. I've had like so many kitchen burns. Like, dude, those scars take years to go away. Like, it's pink now, and then it's going to be, like, darker for, like, at least, like, 3 or 4 years. You're going to be talking about it for a long time before it finally starts to fade, you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things, you know? But, I hope he's, you know, I give Cody props for, you know, trying to pull off some entertaining stuff for the fans. Why not?
Yeah, but, yeah.
He is a dad son.
Yeah, but. He should have not done it multiple times before the show even started. I think that was over extreme.
I mean, I guess he had, dude, because his back was all fucking flaky during the show.
Yeah, so.
So that's a good indicator that he had practiced it a few times.
Supposedly that was some, supposedly that flaky stuff was some movie grade anti-burn shit. Like it was like.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like petroleum jelly. He had like people said he had like petroleum jelly rubbed all over him.
Yeah, and that, but the idiot was, you know, was wrestling, you know, for 20 minutes, and the shit started coming off.
Oh, fuck, no shit.
Disgusting.
Oh my god.
think that's what
I mean, happens.
Slippery wrestler.
You get in a moment.
Slippery wrestler is a gimmick that doesn't get done enough, like a wrestler rubbing petroleum jelly on themselves. Or there used to be a wrestler up in the East Coast around your area, Christian. I forget what promotion he was with, but the guy's name was Waffles. I think I brought him up on the show. But he would pour syrup all over himself in the middle of a match, and they couldn't hold on to him. You should have, like, a wrestler with that gimmick since they pour baby oil over themselves. Make a slippery guy.
They did have that guy in the show. He was literally working with Kenny Omega, the Asian guy.
He was slippery?
Yeah, also Joey Ryan did that. Joey Ryan would pour baby oil.
You're right. Waffles was really funny.
We don't
Waffles
speak about
was like
that
a 14-year-old kid. He would go out there and fight these monsters and just pour syrup all over himself, and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Was that Doomsday Wrestling?
No, it was something similar though. It was like it wasn't Chikara, but it was like up in the East Coast. Like, and he only wrestled for. You can like find his internet wrestling database page, but that's like the only thing you can find on him.
Cool.
Basically, he was like the Grease guy from Family Guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
Yeah. So that's it for AEW Weekly. We got tomorrow's show, which is Holiday Bash again. Another Holiday Bash. No, New Year's Smash again. I'm sorry, New Year's Smash. And tomorrow's gonna be the final. No way, is it? No, it's not gonna be the final. Or maybe it is. I don't know. Probably is going to be the final time they're going to have in TNT, or maybe not. Who knows?
I did want to give I did want to give an honorable mention to one match, Christian. It was that Chris Statlander and what was the chick's name? It was like a short chick that she wrestled.
Uzila.
What was her name?
Leela.
What'd you say? Yeah,
Leela.
I can't remember. Leela. Yeah. What's her last name? Leela.
I don't know. I just call her Leela.
Leela Goldberg.
And I was like not expecting that one to be really good, and I think that was the best match from that show. And I don't know, AEW just like in the ring. I'll say it a million times over, but like it's more fun to watch. WWE stories, we know they're not as good, but also their in-ring product is not as good. Like AEW is kicking more ass in the ring.
Yeah.
Those chicks did a long match, and it was a good one.
Yeah, and it looks like Leela's turning heel, by the way. She's turning heel.
Leela Hirsch.
Yeah, Leela Hirsch is turning heel because she smacked away a handshake from Chris Statlander after the match, so.
Like a superhero. Like, they got, like, Nikki Ash in WWE. I know I'm comparing, and we'll move on.
Nikki Ash?
They got Nikki Ash in WWE who they're trying to literally make look like a superhero, like make a superhero. And then they have Chris Statlander, who just is like a badass looking chick who's got some face paint. And like, she looks more like a superhero than Nikki A.S.H. or whatever.
Yeah.
I liked her wrestling style too, the way she wrestles at Chris Statlander. I saw her in that match against, I guess it was Dr. Britt Baker when she first arrived on the scene.
Yeah,
Chris Statlander. That was a good match she put on. But, I said that I fall asleep during fucking AEW, but I fall asleep during Raw, too. And last night we had a fucking great example of that during the fucking... I fell asleep before The Miz and that shit came on. But let's talk about that shit
now. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the final WWE report for 2021. Let's start with the fucking Christmas special for SmackDown, shall we? The fucking terrible Christmas special that fucking happened on fucking SmackDown that was spoiled, right? There were three matches on the fucking show. Number one, we go to... Charlotte Flair versus Toni Storm. My God, they did a great job making Toni Storm look like a fucking jobber, didn't they? They made her look like a fucking geek in that title match. She was fucking crying throughout most of the fucking match.
Really?
She was getting her ass kicked the majority of the match. And then the wrestling was shit, too. The match was garbage. They have no chemistry with each other. And then Charlotte just beats her with a fucking roll-up. Can anybody else say how much of a fucking burial that is? That's a burial. Charlotte Flair, once again, burying another fucking talent.
I don't want to point fingers and say this is what happened. I don't want to say without a fact this is what's going on. But, like, you got all these stories from back in the day where this happened. And you got a vet like Charlotte. And you got somebody like Toni Storm coming in. And what if Charlotte just works stiff? And, like, you could do that. Like, a person in Charlotte's position or anybody's position, a veteran wrestler versus a newcomer, you could just work stiff and make the match suck. And you're not going to get in trouble for it. The new guy is. So I don't know. I don't think that's what happened. I think that what happens is that, like, Tony's definitely a British wrestler first. She comes from, like, another style of wrestling, and she was in NXT. She's kind of learned WWE, but she got brought up so fast and bullshit debuted. She has no gas behind her. There's no reason why we should believe that Toni Storm is a badass. And we know that Charlotte Flair is a badass. But I'm just putting in the possibility there that, like, any of these wrestlers, if they don't like this person coming in, if they don't think that this person's deserving, they could just stiff them and fucking not sell their shit and not put on a good match. And it could really hurt the younger guy. So as much as y'all hate on Charlotte, like, it's like, if there was anybody in WWE that I could see doing that, it would probably be Charlotte.
Whoa!
Purely speaking hypothetically, I think Toni Storm's great, and I think Toni Storm's great, and she's had good matches before, but I don't think she's ready for the main roster. I think that the match was proof of it, and everything she's done on the main roster is proof of it.
It's hypothetical.
What about you, Albert?
Woo!
What about you, Albert?
On mute? Mute, maybe? Woo!
All right, we'll skip.
Oh, no, sorry. No, I was getting dressed. Right. I don't even know what the hell we're talking about. Sorry.
Getting dressed.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's nice to know he was, you know, undressed or, you know, previously.
We were talking about Toni Storm getting buried by Charlotte, Albert.
Oh, dude, I mean, what else is new? You know what I mean? Of course, Charlotte is, you know, the queen. She's the queen. And Toni Storm's just a new call-up, so what the fuck? You know what I mean? But at the same time, they should be building these stars. And WWE's notorious for fucking burying fucking great talent. So, you know, what else
what
is new here, guys? What else is new?
Yeah.
Is she really great talent, though? I don't know. Is she?
I've only seen a couple of her matches, so, I mean, like,
have
from what I gather, she's pretty good.
Do you know what Toni Storm looks like?
I have. I think she looks great,
I'd
though.
Hate to sound
she
like
does
a pig,
look great.
I hate to sound like a pig, but just on that merit alone, like, she's one of the most beautiful chicks they've hired in a minute. Like, push her to the moon. If you want to push hot chicks, if you want to rehire Eva Marie, who can't fucking wrestle, like, fucking put some fucking fire behind Toni Storm because she's just as hot. Like, I mean, what the hell? I'm just saying. If we're speaking to that aspect of it, like, you're fucking sitting on something that years ago you would have made your main champion the whole time, you know?
Right, Kelly. But we digress.
Yeah. Up next, what was supposed to be a 12-man battle royal to determine the IC Championship number one contender, they changed it to a 12-man gauntlet match. That means that's your hours of a two-hour show. They only booked three fucking matches, and this is the second one. 12 men entered. Ricochet eliminated a few. He lasted longer. Then the obvious fucking winner, Sami Zayn, comes out, beats Ricochet. Hooray, Sami Zayn versus Nakamura for the IC title at day one.
Let me interject. I care. Let me interject. Let me tell you why, Grasshopper. Because, you see, this fucking Sami Zayn story, it's got to end in a fucking face turn for him. It has to. Especially since he fucking signed with the company. It just has to. They have to keep – Vince McMahon has got to fuck him or the kid, whatever. Somebody has got to fuck this Sami Zayn for the title, all right? And just fucking take the title from him in a cold-hearted way. And finally, it's a conspiracy. It really is. And he gets all the fucking people behind him. It has to happen. That has to be why they're doing this shit. So you had to know he was going to win. I knew he was going to win. Because it has to. This some shit like that has to happen. There's no way they've been doing this fucking Sami Zayn conspiracy shit for all these fucking months. And then they're just going to drop it cold. Without a payoff. Guys,
I just think he's going to win the title and just end Shinsuke's fucking terrible title run. I don't care if he wins or loses. I just want Shinsuke to now be IC champion. He's fucking terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible, man. Fuck. I can't stand Shinsuke's IC title run. It's been a fucking joke. Just like a bunch of other recent title runs, but let's fucking move on. Yeah.
We need Sami and Kevin Owens to be tag team champions together. That's all. Kevin Owens was talking about it like just like a week ago, where he was saying that, like, you know, that's the one thing they haven't done with this. That, like, at this point, I don't know if they're ever going to do it. But those guys are like old rivals and friends, and they would be a badass tag team. If they were in a tag team together, they could be just as big as definitely RK-Bro, probably touching the New Day. They could be like a dominant tag team, I think, if they did it right. And there's no shame in that. Like, make more badass tag teams. Make these, like, I don't know. Sammy hasn't been used right in a long time. My favorite version of Sammy is probably fucking 10 years old at this point. Like, where he was just, like, skanking and like, short-haired little happy Sammy coming out. Like, late NXT champion Sammy. Early main roster. I'm not saying that it's not good for him to grow as a character and stuff, but this character is not going to get you over. The other character was over.
Plus, this new theme song fucking sucks, too. It's fucking generic.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn has a new theme song?
Would you say it was El Generico?
No, it's worse than El Generico. It's fucking terrible. Like, it starts with his usual, but then it just slows down, and then you hear this fucking generic rock song afterwards. Fucking terrible.
Yeah, I love it. Like Von Wagner's song. I love Von Wagner's theme song from NXT. It's like a generic 1980s song. It's great, man.
Awful.
Was that the guy that got brought up? Von Wagner got brought up and then got sent back to NXT, right? He came for like one week.
Yeah, they never explained it. They never explained why they asked him to be in a fucking segment on SmackDown. They never explained it. They didn't even acknowledge his name. They didn't even acknowledge him.
Yeah, acknowledge me.
That's how they roll.
So we go to a segment, you know, the build up for the Roman and Lesnar shit. This fucking garbage. And then Paul Heyman does this fake ass, sad ass fucking interview saying, "Oh, I don't know where my career goes. I think my career's fucking over." And then they play a fucking retrospective video of Paul Heyman's fucking career. Give me a fucking break. We all fucking know this motherfucker's going to turn on fucking Lesnar. We all know it. It's all obvious. He's going to turn on fucking Lesnar, and he's going to help Roman Reigns win. Give me a fucking break. Fuck this shit. And this is how we're going to get Reigns versus Lesnar again at WrestleMania. Get the fuck. Who the fuck will be excited for this shit again? Seeing the same match for fucking WrestleMania. Who the fuck will be excited for this shit? Give me a fucking break. Awful. It's Roman Reigns shit. It's awful.
Paul E. Dangerously. What can you say? He's the best actor that they have. He's the best actor that they've probably ever had. His promo in that promo was super fucking good. As stupid as the storylines may be, as stupid as this whole Roman thing may be, like, every time Paul's been on TV, he's done something good that like would get like plus points for like wrestling, like as far as like what's good wrestling. Paul's doing everything he can to make wrestling good.
So, fuck,
that guy's fucking awesome. That's all I'm saying. Like, give the guy credit.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else to book in this match other than Paul Heyman, then wow. Like, what does that say about Paul Heyman as the manager? Like, they're using him as the fuel for this match. That's awesome.
But, I mean, there's so many pay-per-views in between now, so it would be a shame to just have, you know, to just have them at day one and then again at WrestleMania when there's, you know, a few others in between, too, that they could – I mean, they could even have a fucking Paul Heyman on a pole match.
Oh, that would be great.
And I agree with you, Kevin. Like, dude, like, he's the guy that's, like – he makes WWE watchable. Whenever he's on, like, you have this, like, kind of feeling of unpredictability that kind of exists in, like, AEW, you know, throughout the whole night, you know what I mean? Or that feeling of, like, you know, anything can happen, or, like, this guy is, like, really good at what he does. You know, you have that, like, moment within WWE segments, especially when, like, guys like Paul Heyman are out there entertaining the crowd. And I hope they don't lose him because it's like, dude, like, I mean, I know they're not. And you know, Paul loves money, but he's got a great mind for the business, and he always has. He loves the business. And he's really just trying to make things entertaining for people. And, you know, he can go down as one of the greatest managers of all time, if not legally.
He will. He will. But the storyline is still garbage. He's not garbage. The storyline is garbage. Roman Reigns is fucking garbage. That's the point. Anyway, we go to the worst six-man tag. I talked about the best six-man tag in AEW. This was the worst six-man tag in WWE. This was fucking Drew McIntyre in the New Day, the cringe day. Now Drew McIntyre is fucking cringe, right? They fucking ruined him. He's fucking,
Drew
fucking
day.
Dancing. Drew
yeah.
Day.
Drew
fuck,
Day.
Fuck it. He fucking, he's part of the New Day in my eyes now. He's fucking dancing and jiving, making fucking jokes. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? Where's the same guy that fucking beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar? What the fuck? This is fucking cringe.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I did my boy wrong. The first guy, Drew was the first guy I'd chosen to, like, get behind in years. Like, he was the first guy where I was like, yeah, he's going to be my guy. He's going to be the one that's going to be badass. And then they just, like, ever since he lost the belt, they've just been flushing this man down the toilet super slow.
He's like a shit that clogs the toilet.
He's still higher than he was before he left. He's in a better position than he was before. So that's a good thing. He's going to be he's an action figure. What the fuck more do you want from these guys?
He's on TV every week.
There's not enough threatening figures. Drew could have been threatening. There's not enough guys like Bobby Lashley. Lashley was threatening, and he's not threatening anymore. Stuff like that, you know what I mean?
So who was this match against, Swami?
It was the New Day and Drew Day versus the Lusos, because they're losers, versus Riddick Moss in a Miracle in Street Fight six-man tag. This was cringe. They were throwing presents.
Is that Sheamus' lackey?
No, it's fucking Baron Corbin's lackey.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, wait a minute. Madcap Moss. Now he's Riddick Moss?
That's his name.
I called him
Riddick Moss because that's his old name. I don't want to call him his stupid name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I only know him as Madcap Moss. And yes, that is a stupid name.
Yeah, so they cringe match, fucking throne presents, fucking Christmas trees, stale fucking cookies, pouring fucking eggnog on people, and then they win the fucking match. Fucking cringe. Fucking cringe.
Well, you had to know
and they
that
did
was
the gimmick.
Happen.
They did the gimmick twice. They did the pour stuff on people at SmackDown and at Raw. Like, they – so it's just
– awful.
Awful.
Yeah. But I fell asleep. Didn't even watch that shit.
Yeah,
caught
guess
the very
what?
Tail
a
end
of
it, but didn't really know what was going on. But it was
I do
fucking
have to give
Miz
a shout out,
and them getting all fucking with some shit all over them.
I have to give a shout out to Happy Corbin, because Baron Corbin, God bless this dude. Like, for some reason, every time they change his shit up and every time he has to do something different, I'm like, fuck this guy, I hate him. And then it'll turn into like, oh, I love Baron Corbin. He's like working this character really good. So, like, Baron Corbin is, like, really fucking good at, like, getting handed whatever they fucking give him. And even though this character's cringe, Happy Corbin is working because, like, the guy that plays the character is actually, like, willing to do all this shit. So, like, he's a good guy. I'm glad that they've kept him. And I hope that whatever he does after WWE, like, if he goes anywhere else, he seems like he could hold his own, like, anywhere, you know what I mean? Corbin's
yeah.
Funny. And he's a good wrestler. Corbin's really fun. He was talking, I read an interview where he was talking about finishes. And he was talking about how, like, the end of days is, like, pretty protected, actually. Like, the times that people have kicked out of the end of days, it's only, like, a couple of times or something. And
yeah.
And just, like, that he's kept stuff, like, whenever he books his matches or the guys give him matches, he'll, like, change different things with them so that it does kind of protect the character, even though the Baron Corbin character is a clown and a joke. Like, that's the thing. Like, he could be a threatening character. It goes back to what I was saying. Like, Baron Corbin could have been booked as a threatening character. But no.
But he's
doing
it. He's doing great, man.
That's not the show they're putting on. They're putting on a funny show. It's supposed to be, like, a funny show, and then there's going to be one story, which is, like, the Edge thing or whatever, or any character, the Roman Reigns thing. The main event story is the serious story. Everything else is stupid, funny, dumb shit. It fills time.
Right.
That's the show they're putting on.
I agree.
And guess
on
what?
That note, guys, hold on. I got to get going, but I want to wish you guys a very happy new year. It's been a fantastic year on Fetal 4 Radio, man. It's been great.
Awesome.
And,
happy
I look
new year
to
you, Albert.
30 fucking years on this show, however long we fucking do it, we're going to do it. Whoa there. We better be getting some money.
Good job, Albert. Have a great time tonight. Yeah. Be safe out there.
Hey,
and Happy New Year to you too, brother.
Happy New Year to you guys, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Albert is back dead. Rancho Club Rock. God damn it.
All right.
Peace.
So, yep, peace. Yep. So, what else? So, yeah, SmackDown, the Christmas special, got one of the lowest ratings tonight. You know, it was revealed. 1.9. Yeah. There you go. There's that Christmas special, yeah? There's your fucking Christmas special, yeah? Fuck you.
Happy fucking Christmas. Merry fucking Christmas.
Happy fucking Christmas, yeah. So on that note, we go to fucking Raw last night. And this is the last Raw of 2021. And gentlemen, this had got to be the worst final Raw of every end of the fucking year I've ever seen. This show was atrocious. This was horrible. We start things off with RK-Bro, right? RK-Bro, right? I'm telling you this right now. When Randy turns on Matt Riddle, that will be the day I would fucking cheer the fuck out. I can't, and that's bad because Matt Riddle is supposed to be the babyface, right? And I can't fucking stand Matt Riddle. I can't stand him. I can't stand how he talks. I can't stand how he acts. I can't stand it. That promo that he did last night was fucking atrocious. He acted stupider than usual. He said that he was becoming green and scaly like he was a fucking snake. And then he acted like he didn't know what a fucking Titantron is. He acted like Randy did fucking magic and shit. What the fuck was this?
It was pretty funny. The Titantron thing was kind of funny because he's an idiot. He's like
he's stupider than usual.
Yeah, because he smokes weed, bud. because he smokes a lot of weed. That's the joke, right?
It's stupid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Randy, just smoke
it's
some
stupid.
Of this bud, Randy.
I can't take him seriously. It's obnoxious. He's obnoxious.
It's
bro.
A funny character because it's kind of like Eugene or something. It's like he's really good at wrestling, but like not like the character is dumb or whatever. And
Randy.
So yeah, I don't know. Matt Riddle, you could give him the same example. Like, I mean, Matt could be booked as like a more, to use the phrase again, threatening force. But no, like you have him be a funny guy. That's what they did with RVD. He's very much like RVD. Because they're both like ninja master type motherfuckers.
I got to tell you, Swami, I actually thought that was going to happen last night. I really thought that he was going to fucking turn on him last night. I mean, it's got to happen sooner or later.
I wanted him to turn on him so fucking bad. I wanted him to punch the shit out of him.
I really thought it was going to happen last night. I mean, Randy Orton was shaking his head and shit. And then, you know, before he asked for the hug and then all that shit, you know, I mean, then they hugged, right? And, of course, the fucking audience lit up. But I was like, and then Randy fucking kind of got him, right? And like they fucking, you know, did put the number one sign out in front of each other. Like, hey, I almost got you, you know, and shit. But one of these days it's going to be for real. And it's coming sooner.
What do you think?
Rather than later, I think.
I had a fantasy booking come to mind where a fantasy booking where Riddle turns on Randy instead, and they feud and they break up and they fight each other, and then Randy beats Riddle whenever they feud one on one, and then after that match, Randy like tells him like, "I respect you for turning on me because that's what I always fucking do to people," and then like you really are my bro, and then they hug, and then everybody's like, "Yes." And then RK Bro is back together, but they're heel as fuck.
I like that. Only because it ends up in a heel.
Yeah.
Only because it ends up as heel. I fucking love it.
So Matt Riddle faces Chad Gable. The match was fucking trash. All they did was like rest holds and then ankle locks. Then Matt Riddle did one good move. And then he hit his finisher, and that was it. That was basically.
I mean, I was on Team
sport.
Gable. I was on Team Gable.
Show, right?
I thought
this
fucking Chad Gable should have won that match.
Awful.
I thought Chad Gable should have won that match. Can they fucking throw this guy a bone every now and again? God damn it.
Not only that, his partner gets fucking buried too the next match because it's Otis versus Randy. And then, you know, they were building, like, Randy can't hit the fucking RKO on Otis. What does he do? He hits the fucking RKO on Otis. Like, what the fuck? What was literally the fucking point last week of teasing that Randy can't hit the RKO on this fucking guy? And yet you have him hit him with the RKO last night. What the fuck was the point of that shit?
I mean, it seems like the whole fucking thing is dead and gone now. And, you know, I thought they could have maybe extended it a little bit more by having fucking, you know, the kid go down to fucking the other kid. You know, I was on Team Academy. Alpha Academy should have won that fucking shit. Or Chad Gable should have won. But anyway, I digress. I'm fucked up about that, though. Because they throw fucking Chad Gable a bone? God damn it, dude.
No, they would never do it. They don't care about Chad Gable. Up next, Kevin Owens had an interview segment because, you know, the whole COVID and Big E was pulled for safety reasons. You know, Big E was talking in his cell phone.
Hold
he was
it, wait
talking
a minute.
Absolute bullshit.
So Big E has COVID too, bro?
We don't know if he has COVID. I think he was pulled for safety reasons. So.
Okay.
Just to make sure he didn't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it doesn't
sense.
Matter.
That makes sense.
So he was just talking on his cell phone. It was a generic babyface promo. Who gives a fuck? Biggie's the worst champion in modern wrestling right now. He's horrible. Kevin Owens is talking absolute bullshit. Kevin Owens' character is all over the fucking place. He says that him and Seth Rollins are best friends, even though he, you know, he argues with him. Even though, you know, he said that it was his plan to attack Bobby Lashley and, you know, Seth Rollins had nothing to do with it, even though he said he was best friends. Kevin Owens is all over the fucking place. I don't even know who the fuck his character is anymore. I don't know who the fuck Kevin Owens is now. But fuck him.
You'll see more of Kevin. You'll see more of Kevin Owens on this fucking show. Trust me. Because I think I could be wrong, but I think they wrote in a fucking script that said that Kevin Owens is tougher than them because they're scared of the fucking coronavirus. They didn't say that out loud, but they fucking implied it by the way Kevin Owens was saying, you know, I'm tougher than them because I showed up here tonight. You know, like, they're scared of, like, what the fuck is that? Are you fucking serious?
What a badass.
That's a good catch. Yeah, that's a good catch, man. I feel like Kevin Owens now.
That's stupid.
It's life. You still got to fucking go out there and fucking live life, man. You can't fucking just be fucking scared at home.
He's Canadian, Chuck. They have different health care.
Yeah, and besides, he goes out and he fucking hunts moose.
Yeah, him and Brock are going out hunting moose and fucking family.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm still not sold on this fucking shit that, you know, that the Rock isn't going to be at WrestleMania. I'm still not sold on it because,
now
you know, Big E was dropping fucking hints recently about how he's always wanted to wrestle Brock. Big E fucking retains the title. There's a good chance fucking, you know, they fucking sidetracked this shit with Brock Lesnar, and then he goes on to face fucking Big E and forgets all about fucking Reigns.
I don't fucking know. I don't care. Fucking,
I mean, we'll see how it develops.
Yeah.
Either way, though, they got to take the title off of fucking Big E. I do not want to see Big E with the fucking, but it's probably going to happen, you know, WrestleMania all the way. I just think it's a terrible run for him. The way they've utilized,
I don't think they've
utilized him good at all.
I don't think he's going to keep it all the way to WrestleMania.
God,
I hope not either. So up next, we had worst parts of fucking television I've ever seen. It was Reggie and Dana Brooke versus R-Truth and Tamina. This was fucking trash. This was abysmal. This was an abomination. Fuck the 24/7 title. Throw it in the fucking garbage. I've had it with this shit. This is not fucking good. This is worse than the hardcore title. I fucking hate it. Even R-Truth's not even funny at this point no more. It's lost its fucking comedic charm. It's outplayed. Get rid of it. It's not helping nobody. It has
Dude,
no favors.
I mean, I changed the channel during this, and R-Truth is the only one really, you know. Let's see, who was it? R-Truth and Tamina versus who?
Dana Brooke and Reggie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, you know, R-Truth, I kind of felt sorry for him, you know. But anyway, I changed the channel to watch a fucking football game. But I put it back, and it was towards the end of it. And, I mean, fuck, man, this whole Dana Brooke, she doesn't even look like herself anymore. And she's out there with this new character, like she's fucking pointing gun pistols around and fucking just dancing and happy-go-lucky and stuff. And it just looks so fucking forced and fucking pushed on us. And I'm not even sure she's happy fucking doing it, but there she is. But I digress.
What about you, Cavier?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
This 24/7 garbage.
Oh, no, yeah, no. With Tamina?
Yeah. And
no.
Dana Brooke and Reggie and R-Truth.
Fast forward. It's just like, I don't know, like somebody online was saying, like, just send them back to the park. Like, it was better whenever Reggie was just jumping off of trucks. Like,
ice cream trucks and shit.
I don't want to see this.
Yeah, I don't want to see them in the ring either.
I don't really have an opinion about it, but, like, yeah, no, I mean, like, definitely it shouldn't be taking up time on the main show and the matches and stuff, like, unless they're going to do something good with it, unless they're going to have, like, a good storyline with it, but they're not going to.
No.
It should have been a thing. It should have been a thing that got R-Truth over, man. If they were going to do anything with it, they should have had R-Truth win it and hold it like he did, and then they should have had it, like, platform R-Truth into, like, winning the whatever title they have now. Do they not have the U.S. title anymore? They still have that? Yeah. Should have been something like that.
Damian Priest.
Yeah. Well, before him, like long before Damian Priest came around,
he
should have like gotten out of his 24/7 things. But I don't know. It would the 24/7 title picture is like the worst place you can picture yourself as a wrestler. Like if you're in that group, then you're fucking like struggling, dude.
Yeah. We now go to backstage segment two. You know, we have Nikki Trash saying that Rhea Ripley did okay without me. You know, we're going to have a title rematch, the tag title. I don't know why the fuck we want to see this shit again. It's awful. That's another fucking title that needs to go to the fucking bin, the women's tag championship title. There's only like two tag teams in this fuck division. Why would anybody fucking care about this shit? And, you know, Carmella says the same thing. You know, they're going to have a tag title. Boring, fast forward, fuck the women's tag championship.
Speaking of Carmella, man, I think the fucking Christmas bonus fucking done came through. I mean, she looked like she was fucking extra fucking stretched in the face last night. Holy shit. Looking like mannequin fucking status, man. The Christmas bonus obviously fucking at the bank.
Yeah. Fuck it. Up next, we had a video package of the Lesnar-Roman Reigns feud. Boring. Next, we had the RK-Bro tournament, Brodament finals between the Street Profits and the Mysterios. This match was decent. Dominic Mysterio, again, proves why he's fucking trash. Kid fucking sucks. He can't do a 619 right. He can't even fucking... He's so slow in the fucking ring. How many fucking years has this kid been in the fucking main roster? Like one or two? And he's still slow as fuck? This kid, even if he does turn heel, he's fucking hopeless. Kid has no fucking charisma. He's slow in the fucking ring. He's fucking boring. He can't fucking talk in the fucking mic. No hope. Hook is more better than fucking Dominic Mysterio. Fight me.
He'll be a jobber.
Dominic Mysterio.
That ain't no secret, dude. Hook is a bad motherfucker. Dominic looks like a little boy in a big, long, stretched out little boy's body. He doesn't look like a wrestler. Still. I don't know. And I can't help but think that they gave him his gear and took away Ricochet's gear. Like, they do this all the time where they'll give somebody something and then they take it away from somebody else. So, like, a lot of stuff's been, like, I don't know. Dominic, I want him to have, like, a WWE career for sure, but I don't know. Yeah, there's better ways to do it.
I think like, he's like 25 or maybe a little bit older.
Really? He'll get there. He's going to, like, grow up. He's going to, like, all of a sudden come back, and we're going to turn on, and we're going to be like, holy shit, he looks like a man now. But he still looks like a teenager to me. And, like, you got Hook, like you said, and he's a young guy, but he's, like, a shorter guy. But he's fucking cut, and he looks like he hits a lot harder. Like, Dominic doesn't connect as much, and, like, he doesn't do the crucial stuff that, like, sells the match. And it's just because he's up there, like, learning.
I was shocked that the Street Profits won that match.
I really
thought that it was going to be fucking Dominic and his dad, and that they were maybe going to go on to fucking somehow win the titles again so they could start their feud that they're supposedly going to have. Maybe they're going to fucking pull the trigger on that shit, and they're never going to fucking do it the way they never did fucking, you know, the Rhodeses.
Yeah.
The Rhodes feud.
Yeah, they fought as Stardust and Goldust.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't like,
they fought,
you know, it wasn't really what I wanted
to
see.
And then he fought him as Cody himself.
After that? Before
Stardust.
Yeah, in AEW.
No, in Stardust. No, before Stardust in WWE, they fought Cody and Goldust.
Yeah.
Cody and Goldust.
Fuck them. Yeah. So fuck Dominic Mysterio. Anyway, Eric Bischoff shows up. He's the only legit guy. Like, he's the only fucking great mega star on this fucking show. And he's not even a fucking wrestler. He's a general manager. So fuck you. You know,
I was asleep by this
that's
time.
That's your own fault. Yeah.
You missed Bischoff?
Slept right through it.
I love seeing Bischoff on TV, dude. I didn't watch WCW, but I loved him in WWE, and I love whenever Bischoff's on TV. I like his character.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. So, card subject to change. We were supposed to get Omos versus AJ Styles, but obviously Omos was also pulled for COVID safety, you know, in case he did get COVID or to prevent him from getting COVID. So, yeah. Instead, Grayson Waller from NXT came from the crowd. That's technically his fucking Raw debut, everybody. That's his main roster. That's his main roster debut in the fucking crowd. So there you go, a wasted main roster debut.
Not encouraging fans to jump over the barrier very well, are we?
WWE. Oh God, no, not by any means.
Yeah. So then Commander Aziz and Apollo Crews come out, interrupt AJ Styles. We were supposed to get AJ Styles versus Commander Aziz because he accepted Commander Aziz's challenge. Well, when we come back from commercial, it changed during commercial to now AJ Styles versus Apollo Crews. So that means they changed the match between AJ and Omos, and then they changed the match
during this.
What?
Where's
Bischoff?
Fucking Bischoff?
Nah, Bischoff was like before this segment. They just showed him arrive.
He's just a guest. Nothing. He's just a guest, Mr. Sir. He's not important.
Yeah, he showed him later in the show. He came back later in the show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He's not permanent, then. Yeah. So we got AJ Styles versus Apollo Crews. You might be thinking, okay, this might be a decent match. Wrong. This was fucking no chemistry. Fucking botch fest. One of the worst Styles clashes I've ever seen in my life. Like, fucking AJ could barely lift Apollo Crews up, and then he just went down with the Styles clash. That was the worst Styles clash I've ever seen, ever. And then afterwards, AJ Styles attacked Commander Aziz. So now apparently AJ Styles is a babyface, even though he literally called Omos a piece of trash, like a heel. So I guess AJ is a fucking babyface now. I don't know how the fuck that works, but there you go. Thoughts?
You know how people started to say, like, Jericho looks like he's, like, out of shape, and Jericho's starting to look old? Like, it's starting to creep in for me with AJ. AJ lately, and it's just because they haven't freshened up his character, and he's been stuck in these stale storylines. Like, if they'd have kept using him as the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, like, I probably wouldn't view him this way, but, like, now he does look like he's getting old and, like, he can't go as hard as he did just in the last couple of matches I've seen him with. And this Omos story is so stupid. I'm ready for it to be over with and see if we do get, like, a big run. Because you got a guy like Edge. Like, AJ's still, like, in a better position than Edge is to wrestle more matches. I don't know. It's just, like, look at Sting. Look at it. Like, AJ can still go and be a badass wrestler. WWE's just cooling him off so much. It sucks.
Yeah. Minister?
I don't know. I thought I woke up for a little bit there and saw some kid in the ring with fucking AJ Styles or some kind of crazy shit. And I was like really confused.
Yeah,
I was more confused than fucking Joe Biden the night, you know, he wrapped his own fucking presents before Christmas and he woke up fucking surprised the next morning. I was more surprised than him even.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
back. So what happened there with that kid? Who the fuck was he or what?
Mason Waller.
And what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Because he's feuding with him in NXT, and they're mixing two feuds at one. I don't know why, all right? I don't know why AJ Styles has two fucking feuds, one on Raw with Omos and one with his fucking Grayson Waller schmuck who's fucking cringe in the mic. I don't know.
Okay.
Chances are AJ's going to lose both feuds, which is it's going to suck. So there you go. Up next, we had the guy who is confirmed to have fucking COVID. Seth Rollins cut a video. I don't know why they're still advertising for this Fatal 4-Way match. Do they not understand that Seth Rollins is confirmed to have COVID? Do they not know that the waiting period is 2 weeks? You honestly think Seth Rollins is going to be able to make it for fucking Saturday, knowing that he has fucking COVID?
Hear me out. Hear me out. What if they have the pay-per-view, and then, like, the story is that Seth Rollins has COVID, but it's a work, and then he shows up, and he has COVID, and he's, like, coughing and sneezing, and he gets in the ring, and he just starts coughing and sneezing all over everybody, and they're like, no, what are you doing? And he's like, he's just like, coughing in everybody's face and mouth, and like, they're like,
oh,
no!
Shit.
But, like, the truth is that he's, like, double-vaxxed and has a booster, and, like, he's not positive, and, you know. They could get real heat with that.
Seth Rollins looks sick as fuck. You can tell by his face that he looked sick. Like, I don't even know why we're even having a Fatal 4-Way match to begin with. You could have just done a triple threat match, all right? Stop advertising this Fatal 4-Way match that might not happen at all. Stop it. Just stop. After that, Kevin Owens cuts a promo. He's going fucking ballistic. He says that him and Seth Rollins aren't fucking friends, even though earlier on the show he said they were best friends. What the fuck? And then MVP comes out, talks shit to Kevin Owens. And then fucking Cedric and Shun come out, who are in the Hurt Business, but not really. You know? No explanation still why they're together.
Damn, I missed a lot of shit.
This was the one that got me. This is so stupid that they just keep fucking bringing them back with no explanation. Like, they'll use them and then not use them. It doesn't make any fucking sense with these two guys. I would have quit a long time ago. If I was either one of these guys, I would have fucking quit WWE already. But maybe it's better than I think it is.
Would you have been like, fuck you, I ain't doing this shit. With no
fucking
explanation.
Stupid.
My fans deserve better.
Look. Guys have walked away for being treated less worse. Like, guys have totally walked away for less. And these guys are just being treated like this over and over again. Sheldon Benjamin, bro, Sheldon Benjamin should be a world heavyweight champion, like, past multi-time champion. Like he could do it if they gave him the reins. He could have done it. Look at him now. It's so fucking bullshit. Sheldon Benjamin at one time was, like, equivalent to Kurt Angle. Could have been, like, the same thing that Kurt was. Look at him now. It's crazy.
So, afterwards, like, Kevin Owens comes out like a fucking babyface for some reason. He's supposed to be a heel, and yet he's saying that Detroit is trash. His opponents are trash. But then he actually challenges the fucking heels to come to the ring like a babyface and get his ass kicked. The match was shit. It was short. And guess what? Cedric loses like a fucking loser. As expected. And, you know, Kevin Owens not only stuns him, he stuns Shelton Benjamin like he's a fucking babyface. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Kevin Owens has a fucking identity crisis. Is he a heel or is he a face? What the fuck is he?
Oh, shit. I think you have an
identity crisis.
Do you love this shit or do you fucking hate it?
I hate this. I know. I hate this. Like, he has an identity crisis, Kevin.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like you say, there's no point in promoting the Seth Rollins match. There's no point in bringing back these guys for the hurt business or whatever the hell. No, I don't know. I don't watch it as closely anymore for this reason. These aren't the stories that I'm interested in. So I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it. So like
I think he's
going to
be there.
Seth used to be the shit, and he's not the shit. So until Seth is cool again, I probably won't watch his stuff.
I think he is going to be there. There's no reason why he won't be there. He'll test. He'll do his fucking testing or whatever the hell and give him two fucking negative tests before he goes, and then that's it. And he's there. It's no big deal.
I don't care, really. The paper is garbage. Up next, we had the one only match, last match of the show. We had Damian Priest and Dolph Ziggler for the U.S. title. Again, Bobby Roode might be pulled, you know, for safety reasons too. Fuck Damian Priest and this fucking snapping gimmick. It's fucking trash. If they're going to always do this, every fucking title match he is going to have, fuck this. It's not worth it. Watching him is not even worth being invested in him. First of all, he's boring as fuck. Can't cut a promo. He's fucking boring. His wrestling is fucking boring. He's the most generic guy ever. And then, again, he snaps, right? No provocation at all. Just that Dolph Ziggler looked at him funny, he snaps. And then fucking Dolph Ziggler wins by fucking DQ because Damian Priest wouldn't stop beating the shit out of him from the five count. Is this going to fucking happen every time he has a fucking title match or any match now? Count outs or fucking disqualifications? How the fuck is this, is this putting him over?
Soon they're going to have him as a different character like Baron Corbin and shit. They'll change up his fucking character and his Damian Priest character will be gone and he'll be something else. There's no way he's going to be a lasting character like Sheamus and shit.
They'll resolve it. This will be a part of his character forever, I think, where he does this bullshit. But they'll resolve this with a storyline. It'll be like he keeps losing his shit and somebody else like loses their shit. And then it's like, two psychos just slapping chairs against each other or something.
They'll bring back Lars Sullivan.
Oh no.
Oh god.
Ryback.
So up next, we had a promo vignette on one of the worst women's feuds ever. Both women could not make it for the go-home show. Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch were pulled for obvious reasons, you know, COVID, all that shit, you know, at this point. So, yeah.
I missed a lot of that episode, at least a whole hour, I guess.
They weren't fucking, none of these people who were on this pay-per-view were there in this entire go-home show. How can you call this a fucking go-home show? You should have not just aired the show entirely. Liv Morgan wasn't there. Becky Lynch wasn't there. Bobby Lashley wasn't there. Big E wasn't there. Fuck this go-home show. This is not a go-home show. Anyway, they just played the video of Liv Morgan and her terrible promo skills and Becky Lynch and her terrible promo skills. Both women are fucking shit. I don't want both women to fucking win. I actually hate both women in this match. I'm not rooting for anybody. I'm not rooting for Becky Lynch because I think she's trash and she became the female version of Goldberg where she buries people too. And I don't like Liv Morgan because, you know, she's a crybaby.
Bro, we already fucking hear this shit every week, man. And frankly, I'm fucking sick of it. Every fucking week it's the same shit. We're already fucking 9 minutes, 2 hours, bro. I booked the show for. And we go over fucking every week because you have to talk about every goddamn fucking segment and you fucking hate them all. It's the same fucking shit week after week, bro. Really?
Okay, well, screw that. We'll skip it then. We go to the wedding segment. It's fucking shit. Who cares? That's the
shit.
End of Raw.
This is where Bischoff comes out, though. Bischoff came out, did the wedding. Edge came out. It looked like I said about this segment a couple of weeks ago, like the Edge and Miz feud feels like it was pulled from like 15 years ago or something. Like it feels like we're watching shit that happened in 2006, like on TV now. So especially because they brought Bischoff in and everything. They did a wedding in the ring. They did, they renewed their vows. And then Edge, like, poured this black goo all over him. It was the brood, what they call it, Christian, the brood bath.
No, the brood bath, yeah, black ink.
Brood bath.
He literally did the same thing with Seth Rollins, so it lost its impact. So that's
bunch
it for the overall
report,
the new report. Yeah, it's all horseshit. So the prediction, it's time for the quick
prediction. More than ever, WWE, I kind of agree with where Chuck's coming from, is like, and I've been saying this, is like, WWE now more than ever doesn't seem like a pro wrestling show. Even though they do pro wrestling, like it seems like it's I know it's not a pro wrestling show, but it's like it just seems like a way different show than like what we get when we watch any other kind of pro wrestling. Like I don't know. I try to watch and like see if there's a good match on WWE. That's really rare too. I don't give a shit about this day one promotion. We should really, because we do the podcast. Like, I envy you, Christian, because you do watch this shit and you care about it, obviously, even if you hate it. But it's like, we should want to watch this shit, but I don't want to watch it because that's how bad it is. And I know I've said that a bunch of times. I'm just getting that off my chest, but I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, WWE, like, doesn't seem like the same kind of show that we started watching, and that's why we all fucking don't like it anymore. It's a different show now.
I got to check the bowl schedule to see what the fuck I'm going to be watching. I mean, if there's a good fucking game on that night, there's no way I'm going to be watching that fucking pay-per-view.
All right, but for you, just we want to do the predictions, the quick predictions.
All right, fuck it. Let's do the predictions then. Are we down for predictions, Kevier?
Yeah, we can run through them real quick.
The quick predictions, he said. All right, quickly.
All right, Reigns versus Lesnar. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to put Reigns for all of us.
Reigns.
I don't know. Lesnar. Put Lesnar for me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. RK-Bro versus the Street Profits.
RK-Bro.
All right.
Yeah, I got Lesnar. I got RK-Bro.
Okay. Well, you got Lesnar.
No, not Lesnar. Reigns.
I already put you for Reigns. I'll put RK-Bro too. We all have RK-Bro. Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. I'm going to put Lynch for all of us.
Yeah, I got Becky Lynch. Yeah. I can't buy Liv Morgan for shit.
What about you, Kevin? Lynch?
Yeah, put me down for Lynch.
All right. Sami Zayn versus Nakamura for the IC title. I'm gonna bet. Which one?
Sami.
All right. What about you, Kevin? I mean, Minister.
Yeah, I'm going to say Sami Zayn wins it, but then he'll lose it the next night.
All right. I'm going to say Sammy also. Fuck Shinsuke. All right, what else is in this fucking card? The Fatal 4-Way match, the WWE title.
Oh, shit.
What do you guys...
Man. I got to go Big E.
All right.
I mean, not Big E. Fucking Lashley.
Okay.
I'm
what about
say
you?
I'm going to say Big E.
All right. I'll also say Big E for safety reasons.
For safety reasons?
All right. Drew McIntyre versus Riddick Moss. I'm going to pick Drew for all of us.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's a real fucking match. I'm not making that up.
That's a real dead giveaway, too.
Yep. The real fucking match. The
Usos versus the New Day?
For the millionth time. I'm going to put the fucking Usos because there's no way they're going to lose the titles before Roman. They're going to lose it at the same night at WrestleMania probably. I'm going to put the Usos. What about you, Minister?
Oh, man. Yeah, put me for the Usos.
I can't believe they're doing this in a pay-per-view again. I just can't believe they're fucking doing this again.
Dude, they just fucking, they never stop. It's the same
I just can't believe it.
Every time.
I want the Usos to win. I'll put the Usos.
All right. Let's see what else.
The Usos.
The Usos, yeah. It hasn't been announced that the Women's SmackDown Championships have been added. I think that's it. Hold on. Let me double check real quick on the card. Because the only matches that haven't been confirmed yet is the U.S. title, the Women's title, and that's it. Let me check the card because I'm pretty sure there was another match. Check the card real quick. Real quick. Where's the fucking card? Where's the fucking card? I remember the card. They didn't hardly mention the women's title. The SmackDown women's title. Let me go to CBS Sports. Very reliable fucking sports website to find your fucking information.
I'm on it right now, but I'm on the fucking... NCAA football
page. Edge versus Miz. I'm going to pick the fucking Miz because it's obvious that Maurice is going to fuck over Edge and this feud's going to fucking continue with Edge and fucking Beth Phoenix versus Miz and Maurice at WrestleMania. So I'm picking that Miz.
I got to go Miz too.
What about you, Kevin?
What are they going to do to Edge? They're going to make the Miz beat Edge? Edge wins, I think.
Because, you know, they're obviously fucking building up towards fucking Miz and fucking Maurice versus Beth Phoenix and fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
At WrestleMania. Because they keep fucking they keep talking about the marriage... Yep, that's
we'll
about
probably
it.
Get
that's the whole match.
We'll probably get a one-on-one women's match before that.
No.
At fucking, what is that, Fastlane or some shit.
Royal Rumble or Fastlane or Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the card right here. This is a shit fucking card if I do say so myself. Reigns versus Lesnar, RK-Bro versus the Street Profits, Lynch versus Liv Morgan, Sami Zayn versus Nakamura, Big E, Fatal 4-Way, Drew versus Riddick Moss, the Usos in the New Day, and Miz versus Edge. That's garbage. All right, that's the end of the show. I'm going to clock myself out because my battery's going to fucking die any minute.
Yeah.
So thank you for all listening in to Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Last show of the year, buddy.
Yeah, last show of the year 2021. We'll see you all in 2022 next week to find out who won the predictions. Good night, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Philly Nelly. Yeah.
Well, 2021, fuck you, bro. We're out, and we're coming back next year with the same kind of content, only probably altered a little bit differently. I think we decided to nix the birthdays. I'm probably going to nix all WWE in 2021. That'll probably be my New Year's resolution. No.
We'll see how that plays out for you.
I do like it a little bit. But,
yeah, it's hard to give it up completely.
Hard to quit. but... That's what the new year is all about, is setting a resolution. I'm going to play guitar for 8 hours a day, every day of the year for 2022. So we'll see how that, I won't do that, but I might buy a pedal every day. Anyways, I'll see y'all then.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin West. All right. All right.
Hey, we
yeah, thank you for listening to us, the final show of the year, 2021, and we'll see you next year, 2022, God willing. We'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4 Radio. And this is Minister of Sinister reminding you to keep it real, keep it heal, and as always, more importantly, keep it sexy. Peace out, and we'll see you next year, 2022, motherfuckers.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.